Welcome to the ASHP Official Podcast, your guide to issues related to medication use, public health, and the profession of pharmacy.
Thanks for joining us for ASHP's Practice Journeys podcast. This podcast invites members to share their stories about their professional path, lessons learned, and how their experiences shaped who and where they are today. My name is Maybeth, and today we will be chatting with Haley and Matthew about the post-residency match process for HSPILs, and we're super excited to have this discussion. We are all PGY2s at various programs. I am from the Cleveland Clinic, and I will let Haley and Matthew introduce themselves.
Thanks, Maybeth. I'm Haley. I'm from St. Luke's Hospital of Kansas City.
My name is Matthew Buckfeller, and I'm with Dartmouth Health in New Hampshire.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us today. Our first topic today is talking about the post-match process and some steps that you can take early on after matching to set yourself up for success.
Okay. So some steps that you can take early on after matching that I took and I would recommend would be reaching out to connections at your future program or your future place of residence. So you will likely connect early on with your residency program director, and they should be able to tell you who your co-residents are. And I would recommend connecting with them and really spending time getting to know them. And then also connecting with the current PGY1s to learn more about the program and the area. Matthew, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'd add that my biggest advice is to celebrate and let yourself be proud of yourself. Pharmacy school is not easy, and you've worked really hard through the match process. So share the great news with your preceptors, mentors, and team that have supported you thus far. Reach out to thank your letter writers by the method of communication you feel most comfortable with, and carry your support system with you in order to set yourself up for success in your residency. Also, if you have friends that didn't match in phase one, reach out to them and provide support. When they do find their new home, celebrate with them and keep in touch with them as you transition into your residency program.
Yeah, that's some really great advice. Thanks for sharing that. The next topic that we wanted to talk a little bit more about is tips for investigating individual program specifics. Matthew, what do you think?
Yeah, I remember being so excited after getting that match email that I was calling my mom on rotation, overjoyed, telling her I was moving from Ohio to New Hampshire and getting to do what I wanted to do with my life. So most of the time, RPDs will contact you as quickly as they can to give you next steps. If you haven't heard from them, you may consider contacting the program after a week or so. The next steps involve residency manuals, contracts, getting set up for direct deposit, or even working through moving. I would suggest using that time with those documents to also understand what rotations that the program offers and how you want to orient yourself for success. For example, think about what initiatives you think you're going to want to work on. Is it infectious disease, intensive care, medication safety, supply chain? The list goes on and on. What are your interests? The other thing I will say is to make friends with HR and the program, because their help will be invaluable in this process. And also be mindful of the deadlines as you move into your residency. Looks like our third question that we wanted to talk about today was, what advice do you have regarding getting pharmacy licensure? So I'll pass it over to Maybeth.
Yeah, so great question. And I think it's an important one. As a mentor said to me when I had just matched, they said, you know, you don't really get to do a residency if you don't get licensed. So make sure you get licensed as soon as possible or as quickly and feasibly as possible, to ensure your continued success. So the first thing I would recommend is saving up money and looking into the overall cost of licensure. Depending on your situation, if you're moving to a different state or you're pursuing licensure in multiple states, the cost certainly adds up fast. So make sure you've planned for that ahead of time. Beyond that, you'll want to look into study materials in the state that you're getting licensed. This is a little bit different for you if you are staying in the state that you went to pharmacy school. You probably already have access to those resources. But if you're moving or going to a program that you're less familiar with, then you probably want to rely on resources at that program or at pharmacy schools in the area to find the proper study materials and make sure that you have the resources for your success. The last thing I'll say regarding licensure is to give it the time it deserves. Put in the studying time. This is one of the last few exams that you'll have to take throughout your pharmacy career, which is very exciting. But in order to have the rest of your career, you have to pass those exams first. So be sure to prioritize that as much fun as it is to enjoy the post-match and celebrate. Also be sure to work hard and study so you can pass your exams. What do you think, Haley?
Yeah, I would echo everything that you've said so far. As you mentioned, you've been working really hard for 4 years to get to this point, to be able to be a pharmacist and practice as a pharmacist. So just trust that your training that has gotten you to this point has set you up for success, and you have the tools to be able to study for this exam. And then in terms of the law exam, I actually got licensed in two states that I didn't go to pharmacy school in, and I really heavily relied on resources that were provided to me by my program, as well as the current PGY1s that were completing that program. And they were really gracious and kind and sent me their study resources. And then there were also a lot of resources available on the Board of Pharmacy website. So whether that was a more in-depth booklet review or a frequently asked questions page, I found both of those things to be really helpful. And then, as Maybeth mentioned, making sure that you're prepared and remaining in contact with your school of pharmacy so that you can get any necessary documentation sent to the state where you're getting licensed in as soon as possible, and able to schedule your exams and get licensed as early as you can. I think the sooner that you can get licensed and, like Maybeth said, continue in your program, but also the earlier you can get licensed, the earlier you're able to start working as a pharmacist and really leverage all the learning opportunities that are available to you. So that's what I would say.
So the next topic that we have is really around sharing tips regarding the housing process, getting your personal finances in order, and other personal advice. So I think all three of us are well equipped to tackle this question, but we'll start off with Matthew. Give us your thoughts on tips for newly matched HSPALs regarding personal finance and personal advice.
Yeah, it's a great question, Maybeth. So I moved across the country for my two-year HSPAL. When I matched, I immediately asked my upcoming RPD with resources she would recommend in order to find housing, and she gave me some options that have been used by previous residents. I think it's important to consider if you're entering into an academic institution, I would suggest looking into the resources available to medical residents, or even if you won't be at an academic institution, looking to see if there is a local college with housing available. For example, I found my place for PGY1 by looking through the Dartmouth College website and then finding a landlord that actually had three houses in the area. Along with this, do recognize that you might not be spending a ton of time in your new home, so prioritize getting what you need in order to succeed. I don't know, Haley, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I don't have too much to add. I actually moved back a little bit closer to home to complete my residency programs, but was able to leverage family and friends in the area to help find me housing when I wasn't here. And then the only other thing that I would mention is making sure you have a plan for maintaining your personal wellness. Kind of as Matthew alluded to, residency is a really busy time, and it's important to make sure you have tools and a plan in place for how to maintain your personal wellness to set you up for success in residency. Maybeth, what would you say?
Yeah, that's a great thing that I want to piggyback off of, is really setting up time for yourself. But I also wanted to recognize that personal finance is a big consideration in the transition period, post-pharmacy school, pre-residency, and then during residency. So this is your friendly reminder to try to find housing that fits within your means. A lot of people get excited about moving into a new apartment or a big sky rise. And then they're not so much thinking about how much of your pay might be taken out of taxes and things like that. So just important to remember that you want to be able to have a livable wage, and that you don't want all of your expenses to be going towards housing, leaving not as much fun for your personal life. So those are my big highlights, I think, for tips within personal finance. And I think the final question for the group is just, what other advice do you have to set yourself up for success prior to starting your new residency position?
Yeah, I think my biggest piece of advice is to, again, celebrate yourself and where you are and where you are at. You know, you made it through the 4 years of pharmacy school and you are ready for this. And if you use these last few months of rotations and time off to get prepared, it becomes a lot more manageable to obtain housing, move, and then start your residency on a great note. Do you have anything to add to that, Maybeth?
Yeah, the last thing I'll add is one tip that I have just for continued wellness in residency. Something that my co-resident and I did is every week or every other week, depending on how busy our schedules were, we would pick a new place in the city that we moved to. So we both moved to Cleveland, Ohio, and just tried to find something fun to do, even if it was only for a few minutes, whether it was just trying a new coffee shop or grabbing sandwiches to take to work with us for the day, or going to a happy hour after work. And it allowed us to build memories outside of the hospital in the city that we're living in, and has really also helped promote wellness over that period of time. So an example of something that I've picked up as a result of this, trying a new place every week, is now I own a stand-up paddleboard that I blow up myself and can use along the river and into Lake Erie in Cleveland when it's warm and sunny. So looking forward to those days to come soon. But I think that's all we have for you today. So I wanted to thank Haley and Matthew for joining me and sharing their story. Join us here at ASHP Official and the Practice Journey podcast as we learn about how our members seek out, grow, and evolve during their careers.
Thank you for listening to ASHP Official, the voice of pharmacists advancing healthcare. Be sure to visit ashp.org/podcast to discover more great episodes, access show notes, and download the episode transcript. If you loved the episode and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. Join us next time.